Welcome to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. The Madison Symphony is performing this weekend again, Friday night 7:30, Saturday night at 8, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30. The program includes Beethoven's Egmont Overture and the vast Alpine Symphony of Richard Strauss, and also one of the great trumpet concertos of all time, the one by Johann Nepomuk Hummel. And performing that, my guest again today, I say again because she's been here a time or two before, welcome back to the Midday, Tina Ting-Helset.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Did you come straight from Norway, or have you been performing in the States already?
Actually, I came kind of straight from Norway. A couple of days ago, I landed in Chicago, so the jet lag is quite heavy still. But I'm actually staying in the States for a month now, doing various things. So, it's nice to be here. Nice to be back.
Going to be performing with your band?
My brass ensemble, yes, Tenting. Where after this, I meet up with the girls. They're coming over on Monday, and then we start this incredible, amazingly very long tour all around. It's everywhere from like San Francisco to New York and Minneapolis in the middle, and then everywhere it feels like. So it's going to be very exciting to just see more of the country, and yeah.
What kind of things does this band play?
Well, we play like it's mainly classical repertoire, but we focus a lot on and I mean this in a very positive way, audience friendly repertoire, and we like to just share the joy of playing together. We don't tour that often; it's a couple of tours a year. This is the first time in the States. It's been a lot around Europe, but the first time here, so we're very excited about that. So we play everything from like Norwegian music, Edvard Grieg, to some thing by Leonard Bernstein. We do some West Side Story this time, Copland and Carmen from Up by Bise. We also play a lot from memory. So we do some choreography, walking around the audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's cool. It's we just like to share, as I said, the joy of playing together.
Well, you've brought your instrument.
I have. And speaking of joy,
<that's>
of playing,
is there a Guarneri of trumpet manufacturers, or is the trumpet from yesterday just as good as the one?
As the one from today?
Yeah, from today.
No, right. It's not the same as with violins. We don't have those kind of crazy old, wonderful instruments that are like worth billions of dollars. We don't have that. A trumpet is, first of all, it's the trumpet I have here, the trumpet that I play on and that we play on today is quite young compared to the violins. They look the same in the 17th century, but trumpets did not. Then it was the natural trumpet with holes, and it couldn't play the same scale, the same notes we can do today.
Well, it wasn't chromatic.
It was not chromatic.
Yeah.
It was only like overtones and like more like the like a nature type of instrument. And then actually for the Hummel concerto that I'm performing this week with the Madison Symphony, the Hummel and the Haydn concerto written at the same time, then there was this Austrian trumpet player, Anton Weidinger, who then actually made a new trumpet with not valves as we have today. In German, it's called Klaffentrompete. I don't know. It's like it's
keys.
It's keys. And that was kind of, if we play today, it doesn't sound, you know, great. It's a reason for it to being developed further. Uh-huh. But still, that was really the way to go with like chromatics and everything. And people were, of course, amazed at the time.
Yeah, put on quite a show. And these concertos, both the Haydn and the Hummel, the one you'll be playing, are actually written to show off this new versatile instrument.
Yeah, this new instrument. And for people, I mean, now it's completely normal for us to hear this and even more crazy stuff. But then at the time, it was really like, this was a shock to them to hear these notes coming out of a trumpet. So it's kind of cool in an historic perspective. So no, my trumpet is the one I have here today. It's an American one, actually. It's a Bach. It's called Stradivarius. I think they did it to show off. This isn't a great trumpet, but it is. I mean, I've had it since I was 10 years old, this one. And I love it. It's like one of my babies, but it's a fairly normal. it's a fairly normal standard model. Yeah.
All right. And what would you like to play for us?
Well, I was thinking, since there are a lot of people here that kind of descends from Norway, have a Norwegian heritage, I thought about playing something Norwegian. So A Cow Call by Edvard Grieg, that he kind of found
for his instrument.
Yeah, found in the native Norway, and then he made his own version. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Cow Call, with, performed here in our studio by my guest, Tina Ting Helsen. Well, having heard that, Tina, I have to wonder. I mean, just I've got to admit, the image that came to my mind is of you out there on a Norwegian mountain, you know, and maybe the cows coming home.
Coming home,
do
yeah.
Do you ever play outdoors?
Well, you have to. I mean, I come from Oslo, which is
not too outdoorsy.
It's not. Well, it is very. It is outdoorsy, but it's not like. It's more like a city, you know, like a big city. It's the capital of Norway, so it's not the mountains and the cows so much. But still, it's very much... I do play... I mean, speaking of... I mean, when I was a kid, I did the marching band thing, which is a very, very big tradition, great tradition that we have in Norway, with wind band and brass bands. And I did, and we did... I went to the wind band, and we were marching around, playing outdoors. And then also indoors, all types of music, everything from ABBA to Mozart, you know. So it was that's kind of my upbringing and how I started to play, basically.
Well, we've mentioned this Hummel Concerto that you're playing this weekend with the Madison Symphony, one of the most famous of all trumpet concertos, and you recorded it back
in 2007.
So 10 years ago.
10 years ago, my God.
You were
time is flying. Then I was 20.
Out of your teens.
Yeah, 20.
And so what's going on in this last movement that we're going to hear that makes this a standout?
Well, for me, this last movement is like a laugh from Hummel's side. It's so much fun, energy. It's a bit quirky sometimes. And especially then for people who know the piece, after this quite serious and longing, very long lines, kind of sustained and with a lot of pain somehow, the second movement. And then just this comes as just this relief, extremely joyful. So, yeah, I like playing it.
And who's the orchestra?
This is with the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra. Thank you.
final movement of the Hummel Trumpet Concerto, and the soloist was Tina Ting-Helset performing with the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra. When you hear something that you know, fast, the initiate, not the initiate, but the non-player is kind of think, oh, that's so difficult because it's so fast. But what are the challenges in a piece like that?
I think the challenge, maybe the main challenge, is actually something of what you're saying. It's that it's hard to play those kind of something we call double tonguing, which is instead of saying, normally we say like ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, we use the T in some sort to have the attack, but then suddenly we do ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka, so then they could go faster. We also have triple tongue, which is ta-ta-ka-ta-ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka, or ta-ka-ta-ta-ka-ta-ta-ta. So we do these things into the instrument so it goes faster. And a lot of kind of gymnastic things going on in this piece. And it's supposed to sound very easy, you know, light and easy, right, and just like something that I just, like, you know, I can do this like in my sleep. It's supposed to sound like this with so much energy. So maybe that's one of the hardest thing, to just make it sound natural, organic, cool, and easy. Yeah.
And that's what she'll be playing actually this weekend, Friday and Saturday night and Sunday afternoon, with the Madison Symphony, the entire concerto, though, the three movements of the Hummel Trumpet Concerto. But you have a good collection of CDs to your credit, too, some of them on the EMI label, which I think you got that contract when you were about 20 or
yes, a little bit after this one. So, yeah, 22 maybe? Yeah, I don't remember. Quite early on. Yeah.
And a good variety of things, too.
Yes.
Including this. Now, see, this is actually a Christmas CD.
It is, yeah. My Heart is Ever Present, or in Norwegian, Mitt Hjerte Alltid Vanker. It's actually one of my favorite Christmas hymns of all time. Yes, that was my second album.
And see, this also features the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra.
It does.
And what is this particular piece?
Well, I was thinking of hearing this again, quite a playful little sweet piece called A Little Child So Merrily. That's sweet. Yeah, it's a sweet little song.
How did that particular CD come about? Was it the producer's idea, or how were you involved with it?
Well, it was a little bit of both, I think. I really, the idea of making a Christmas album felt very right at that time. I mean, my first CD was then the Hummel, Haydn, like the oldest standards that, sure, some people would say was kind of a bold choice to record the standard concertos as my first CD when I was only, I think I was 19 actually when we recorded it. But it, again, that just felt very right for me to do it then.
Sounded right.
And well, thank you. And then I was thinking, you know, this will change, and it has changed. I am playing the Hummel differently now than I did 10 years ago.
That's always fun.
Yeah, and it's changing every single, you know, like every performance as well. It's a different day, different weather. I'm in a different mood, different orchestra, conductor. You know, it will always develop one way or the other. So
yeah, I know. That's a fascinating thing. In fact, I was talking long ago to one of the, you know, composers, celebrated American composers, and he said you couldn't play the same way twice if you tried.
It's actually true. I mean,
Schuller said that.
Yeah, no, but it's definitely true. It's like a lot of, you hear people talking about the perfect performance or the perfect version of this piece. I want to do a perfect recording. It's actually not possible because, you know, what is perfect anyway?
I think that too.
And it's not possible because what might seem perfect, if that's even something that's possible to do or worth trying to do, it's a different version the next day. Or in a week or two. So it's
perfect for what circumstances?
Yeah, it really depends. So I'm just, yeah, I enjoy that it evolves. You know, life happens. So so you evolve as a person and develop.
Well, here's a piece that will take us pretty close to our quiz question. We may have one more yet after this before the question. But it has, let's see, it was originally written for soprano, I believe, without any words. That's what a vocalise is. But it has been performed effectively by a whole host of instruments.
Yes, I think almost every instrument has tried this one and adapted it, mainly because it's one of the most beautiful pieces there is.
The vocalise by Sergei Rachmaninoff. And in this case, we'll hear it for trumpet and piano. And the pianist is Catherine Stott, and the trumpeter, Tina Ting-Helsett, my guest today.
Thank you.
I'm guessing that it can be more difficult. I mean, double tonguing and triple tonguing and all that notwithstanding, Tina, I'm guessing that it can sometimes be more difficult to play those long, sustained, soulful notes on the trumpet.
That is actually the most difficult thing. And the simplest tune is the most difficult to play, actually. I mean, one thing is also this, like, so long lines, the breath and everything, and the just the musicality, the longing in it. But just a simple tune that, you know, everyone knows, it is actually quite, it's in one way technically easy to play, but the most difficult thing ever.
We have one more from Rachmaninoff, a short one before we get to the quiz question, which actually today has to do with a trumpet player.
That's good.
Yeah, well,
I'm excited.
Yeah, it just seems so
maybe I should know it then.
We won't put you on the spot, but we'll test you
off air
here in a moment. But in the meantime, we have this little piece by Rachmaninoff. It was originally a song.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's called How Fair This Spot.
I thought maybe for a second you'll try the Russian title, but you went for the English one.
Well, it's actually, it's transcribed from Russian into our letters.
Your letters, the alphabet that we use.
That's right. Maybe I'll practice that too while you're taking a crack at the quiz question.
Yeah.
But this time we hear the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, and this transcription then for trumpet. Did you do the transcription?
Actually, I did. Well, this whole album, Storyteller, my first album on EMI, now Warner Classics, is only songs, only music originally for the voice. So basically, it's not much transcribing to do. I just play the vocal line without the words. It's actually perfect in range and everything for the trumpet. So I just play the melody line.
Okay, here we go. Здесь хороший.
Oh, look at you. That's very good.
Thank you.
I can tell you're a radio professional as you're wearing a headset to hear the end of the music.
Yeah, it's actually, I feel like if I don't wear the headset, I'm not on the radio.
I know what you mean.
Kind of.
I know what you mean. That's certainly a lovely arrangement of How Fair This Spot by Rachmaninoff.
Yeah, it's a beautiful one.
Well, we'll look forward to not one, not two, but three performances of the Hummel Trumpet Concerto.
Me too. I'll do my best.
We're counting on you.
Yeah.
With the Madison Symphony this weekend. Also on the program, the Alpine Symphony of Richard Strauss, a huge musical postcard. And the Egmont Overture of Beethoven. And in the centerpiece, that most famous of trumpet concertos, the one by Hummel, as played by my guest today, again today, I should say, Tina Ting-Helsit. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.